You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Again, welcome and happy Easter. My name's Ron. How many came to the hot dog feed and the Easter egg hunt? Were you there? Were you part of that? Okay, I was the guy in the yellow shirt. Do you remember me? I was wearing a yellow shirt, and I gave everyone the wrong directions. So they had to make up a lot because I was leading everybody the wrong way. Today is just a great day. It's good to be with everybody, and I hope you experience the hospitality of Jesus and that you know for sure that God loves you. I think that's the greatest message that can be communicated, especially this Easter weekend, that God loves you and that he cares for you and he has your best interest always in mind. I'm so glad that he's done the same for me. So this evening, what I want to do is I want to share with you a message out of Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to say this right up front. There aren't a lot of bells and whistles with this message. What this is really about letting the resurrection of Jesus stand alone because it stood the test of time and it leads us right into eternity. God is so good and he is so faithful. And what I'd like you to do is if this evening you would just listen with your ears, listen with your heart, and then you decide, is this resurrection really true? Is it powerful? Can it change my life? And maybe it already has. Then you know about the power of God's resurrection. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you for the grace and the mercy that you extend to each one of us. You've been so good to us. You've been good to me. And I want to thank you for that goodness. Thank you for your love. I don't know where I would be without your love in my life. In Jesus' name I pray, and I say amen. I recently realized that this is my 28th Easter celebration here at Canby Foursquare Church. Now, what's amazing to me is this has been an incredible gift to Annette and I. Just to be part of this community, to be part of your family, to be in relationship with you. So what do you say when you're going into your 28th Easter at the same church with many of the same people? Well, you say what's been said before and always will be said. He has risen. Because the power of that statement stands today. It stands for what it means. He has risen. So I'm going to ask you a question. When you say or hear those words, what comes to mind? When you heard those words just announced this evening, what was the first thing that you thought of? What do those words mean to you today, right now, this very moment? Because as timeless as this declaration is, for me, it takes on new meaning. It always has a different application each and every Easter that I celebrate. Each time that I say he is risen, each time that I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's just something new about the life of Jesus Christ that I discover. This year, the power of the resurrection has caused me to think about possibilities. I hope maybe it does the same for you. Possibilities, opportunities that God gives us through his son, Jesus Christ. For me, it's mostly the possibility of change. Because honestly, there are areas in my life I feel absolutely stuck. Areas in my life where I think change is nearly impossible. I keep trying, but it isn't happening. I'm not moving forward in these particular areas that I know I can identify. I know that are there. I keep seeing the same scenery over and over again. It's kind of like that Yogi Berra famous saying, deja vu all over again. That's the way it feels. Maybe you're in the same place. Maybe you feel that you're looking at the same scenery, seeing the same thing. Well, the resurrection of Jesus is for stuck people like me. And I'm so thankful. And that the resurrection of Jesus meets me. He meets you right where you are today. I'm finding the power of his resurrection in my stuckness. Isn't that amazing? That's why the resurrection is the resurrection. I mean, you look at the Bible, you read the stories of the resurrection, you read the Gospels. Peter, the disciple, found the power of resurrection in his denial. Thomas found the resurrection in his doubt. And Mary and her friends found the resurrection in their grief. And here's the beauty of it all. It's the power of the resurrection that doesn't leave me where I am. It doesn't leave me stuck. It doesn't leave me in doubt or denial or in grief. And I'm so thankful for that. In fact, I want to say praise be to God. Because I would be a woeful person if the resurrection couldn't move me beyond my stuckness. And as much as that statement, "He is risen," is a declaration of God's power that raised Jesus from the dead, it also is a confession. You see, by saying he is risen, I'm confessing something to you. What I'm saying to you is that I'm lost without Jesus. That there's brokenness in my life. That I cannot save or fix myself. Nor can I make myself right before God. And when I come to these places, I have a simple prayer. And the prayer is, Jesus, I can't do this. I can't get unstuck without you, the power of your resurrection. I can't move forward. So where are you going around and around? Where are you seeing the same scenery over and over again? Places you need Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Places in your life that you're compelled to go and say and announce he has risen. Those difficult places, the places you might be right now, to go to those places and say he is risen. Both as a declaration of his power and as a confession of your need for that power. When my oldest son, Ronnie, entered first grade, I mean, that was his maiden voyage in school. He came home that day, his first day of school, he came home haggard. It looked like he was just a wet racehorse. And his mom asked him, "What's going on? Why are you so tired?" He says, "Because I'm running all the time. I'm running before school. I'm running at recess. I'm running after school." And his mom said, "Well, what are you running from?" He said, "I'm running from the girls." That's not a problem later on in life, but it was right then. He goes, "They keep coming up to me, and they keep taking my stuff and grabbing my backpack and pulling my jacket." And his wise mom said to him, "The reason they're doing that, Ronnie, is because they want to introduce themselves to you. They want to get to know you." And he stopped, he paused, he thought about it for a minute, and he goes, "Well, why don't they just come up, tap me on the shoulder, and say, 'Hi, Ronnie.'" Yeah, that would make all the sense in the world, but that's not what they were doing with this six-year-old boy. You know, there are times that we just need to go to those places and introduce ourselves to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This may even seem a little forward, but why don't we go to those places now and introduce the resurrection to say, "Hey, stuckness, guess what? He's risen. Hey, anger, he's risen. Hey, fear, he's risen. Hey, addiction, he is risen. Hey, unbelief, guess what? He has risen." On the first day of the week, very, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices that had been prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women, they bowed down on their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. What in the world just took place? You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ invites us to live life to its fullest and to get the most out of each and every single day. So what I want to do is I want to share with you just a few things that I'm continuing to discover about the power of the resurrection in my own life. In no way is this journey over. And I can say this with a great deal of confidence. In no way am I a finished product. I'm still learning. I'm still discovering. I'm still finding out the power of God's resurrection in my life. First of all, I'm finding that the resurrection of Jesus brings purpose to my life. That's what happened with the first followers of Jesus. This was a group of people that you would have not imagined, you couldn't even thought that they would have been picked as the most likely to succeed. I mean, this really was a ragtag group. They were fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, but they found their purpose in Jesus Christ. And what they did was amazing because they became some of the most influential people on the planet. You see, the resurrection of Jesus invites us again to live the life to its fullest. I think no one, when they wake up in the morning, when they recognize that there is a God, when they recognize that they're in relationship, I don't think they wake up and say, wow, I'd just love to live a mediocre life. The reason they don't do that, the reason I don't do that, you don't do that, is because we've been wired by our Creator to live a life, to want a life that's full and fulfilled. If I were to ask you, what are your purposes in life, or what is your purpose in life, I'm sure that I'd get a lot of different answers. Some of you might say, well, I want to be a good man. Others might say, well, a good businesswoman, a father, a mother, a doctor, a teacher, and so on. All good answers, great answers, but they are secondary purposes. They're roles. These are responsibilities that we have to express our purpose in life. What is your primary or most important purpose? Because everything in creation has a primary purpose. And when we find that, when we discover that, that's when we're satisfied. When we know it, that's when we live to the fullest that life has to offer. So let me ask you just a very easy question. What is the primary purpose of an ink pen? The answer is pretty simple. It's to write. That's what ink pens are supposed to do. I brought two of them with me. I have two ink pens here. One is beautiful. It's ornate. It's pretty expensive. The other is not so much. It's about 29 cents. But the one that's really pretty, the one that cost a lot, I found out has no ink. I mean, I pulled it out the other day. I tried to write with it. I tried to make it work. Nothing happened. No ink. You know what this pen has failed to do? This pen has failed its purpose. It doesn't really complete what it's supposed to do. This 29-cent Bic works. So if you were to have your paycheck signed, which pen would you want your paycheck signed by? The one that works or the one that doesn't work? I want the one that works. I don't care how much it costs or how little it costs. I want the pen that works because it's fulfilling its purpose. You see, the disciples of Jesus, the Apostle Paul, they all discovered that purpose. And that purpose was simply to be like Jesus Christ. You see, the power of the resurrection, when we say he is risen, it's really about saying we want to be like Christ. We want to be like Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he said it this way. He said, I want to know him. I want to be like him in every single way I can. And being like Jesus, and for all you perfectionists, for all you people that are impatient, being like Jesus doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong journey. It's a journey that we're on day in and day out. The resurrection of Jesus gives us the power to see that purpose and to live it out. Here's the second thing that comes to my mind. I'm finding that the resurrection of Jesus allows me to put the past behind. And this is good news. To put the past behind me. And when we talk about the past and putting it behind us, usually what comes up or what comes to mind is the sin, the heartache, the brokenness. Those are all those things that we want to put behind us. Those are all those things that we definitely want to leave. And this is true.
But the Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. So this is not only including the bad, but also the good things as well. We're called not to live in any place that keeps us from knowing Christ. We're called not to be in a place that it doesn't allow us to become more like Him every single day. Like us, almost everyone who's followed Jesus had a past. Matthew was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. I think about the Apostle Paul. Before he became an apostle, he was a killer of people, the church, the body of Christ. He went after them. All of these people have a past. And what the resurrection invites us to is freedom from that past. Our sin, our regrets, our foolish decisions. You know, the memories of the past keep coming back to haunt you. There are two things that the resurrection can free us from. One is certainly the guilt of sin. And that's really a legal transaction. You know that word guilt is a legal word. Whenever I hear that word, I think of a legal transaction. That if you are found guilty, there's a price that you pay. And what we know about Jesus Christ through His life and death and resurrection, He paid that price for you. We were the ones that should have paid the price. So the one that was guiltless paid for those who are guilty. You know what that tells me? It tells me that I'm forgiven. And I'll tell you what, I would never underestimate the power of forgiveness in any of our lives. Maybe you've experienced it before. When you've committed an offense and you knew for sure and truly, really, you were forgiven, the weight that's lifted, it's incredible. Not only does the resurrection of Jesus Christ deal with the guilt of our sin, but it also deals with the shame of sin. And this is a harder thing at times to face because this is about relationship. This is about something I might live with every single day. Jesus said on the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" You see, He was rejected so that I could be accepted. You see, what happens here is what takes care of my guilt is forgiveness. What takes care of my shame is acceptance, that I have been accepted fully in Jesus Christ by my Father in heaven. You know, there are two critical areas where shame shows up. Tell me if this is not true in your life. One of those areas has to do with shame of not being enough for God. So shame enters in that relationship with God. But it also shows up in another place. It shows up in your relationship with others. The shame of not being enough for others. That was all taken care of through Jesus Christ. In fact, Romans 9:33 says, "As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in Him will never, ever be put to shame." You see, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has taken care of the guilt of sin and has taken care of the shame that comes with sin. Listen to this, what the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote this, and I said it earlier. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." All that's new, all that's life-filled come from Jesus Christ. The old doesn't only mean bad. Oftentimes, the old has a lot to do with the new things that I, or the old things, the good things that I want to hold on to. There are times that I want to hold on to and live in the good that has already passed. You know, my temptation is to zero in on that season of life that it was wonderful, that it was great, that it was a great time of life for me. For some, it's their high school days or their college days. For others, they say, "Man, I love the time that I was a kid." There's always a temptation to live in the past, especially when it's good. Certainly, we want to learn from our past, but it's death, not life, if we stay in our past. The resurrection of Jesus gives me the courage to move on. It gives me the strength to move on. I love that about my relationship with Jesus, to become a better follower of Jesus Christ, to become more like Him. He is risen, declares that we refuse to live in the past, good or bad. His resurrection calls us to life today, right now, to live in this moment through the power of Jesus Christ. And that really is the last thought. The last thought is I'm finding that the resurrection gives me strength for today. If it doesn't give me strength for today, what good is it? If the resurrection of Jesus Christ can't help you now, this moment, bring life, what good is it? It's easier for me to live in the past or to look forward and say, I'm just going to dream about the future. The challenge of facing today, the realities of today, that's what we deal with. And for some of us, it's a heavy load. You might be looking at debt right now. You might be looking at health issues right now. You might be dealing with some things that seem to just be crushing you. When we say he is risen, that means that we no longer allow ourselves to say one of these days. You know, one of these days I'll deal with my anger. One of these days I'll deal with my health. One of these days I'll deal with my commitment to God. I don't have to put things off anymore. I don't have to live in denial because he's risen. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus means that nothing goes to waste in my life. That he uses everything in my life to bring about good. It means that I can take every opportunity that comes my way to help fulfill my purpose in life. And I want to say it again, he's risen. He's risen gives me purpose. Allows me to put my past behind me, and it gives me strength for today. When I think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, especially this season, I think that when he embraced me, I'd never felt forgiven like I'd been forgiven by him. I never felt accepted like I'd been accepted by him. And today I know that that's probably what a lot of us are dealing with. We're dealing with the guilt of sin. We're dealing with the shame of sin. And the promise is that it's Jesus Christ and his resurrection that takes care of that, that deals with that. I want you to do this with me, if you would. Just bow your head just for a moment. Just close your eyes. I've invited just the worship team to come back up, and we're going to close in just a moment. But before I do, I want to just invite you into that relationship with Jesus. You might be a believer in Christ. You might be here just celebrating and being impacted in a new way by that statement, the reality of the statement, he is risen. Let his resurrection go to those places that seem to be undone in your life, those places where you might be stuck. Listen, we all get there. It happens to all of us. But go to those places today. Don't wait. Go to those places and say, he's risen. He's risen indeed. And let the life of Jesus touch you. You may be someone here that just feels lost right now. I want to invite you into that relationship with Jesus Christ. That the guilt of sin, the guilt of sin can be forgiven. And the shame of sin will be taken away by the acceptance that God has for you. That God loves you and he cares for you. If you're here today and you need the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life, you want that, you need that, you know you need it. Would you, right where you are, just lift your hand? I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I want you to just lift your hand and say, yep, that is me. I need Jesus Christ in my life because I know that Jesus will make a difference. Good. God is so good. He is so good. Father, today what we do together is we accept the power of your resurrection. We invite your resurrected power to work in us, to free us from that guilt of sin, from the shame of sin. Thank you for the thorough and eternal work that you've done in our lives. Father, I just pray today that you would bless everyone that hears this good news. Your word says that your word does not go without a response. That it's not void, that it's not empty. Thank you. Let us respond to your word in a way that we've never responded before. Touch our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.